said in a tone that brooked no argument. Amelia offered a brittle smile.
Certainly, right this way.
Her gaze darted left just for a second. Emily caught a glimpse of half a dozen older students gathered in the drawing room. They all wore angry, eager expressions. In the middle of the pack was Demarlza, the fire wizard she was certain had led the first attack on Conryu. They followed Amelia along a short hall to a door that led to stairs down to the basement. This might complicate things. Fighting in an enclosed space would let the enemy concentrate their magic. At the bottom of the steps, Amelia went to the first door and opened it for them.
Right through here.
Emily went in first. There wasn't much there. Just a sofa and magic mirror. Casting chambers were usually kept empty. Why was the sofa in here?
Watching something interesting.
Angeline walked over to the mirror and tapped it with the death stick. An image flickered to life. A black spiral blasted through the chest of the monster, exposing a glowing sphere. A moment later, an orb of dark magic streaked in and destroyed it. The creature collapsed into so much rubble. Angeline grinned and tapped the mirror again, breaking the connection.
Impressive. The boy learned death spiral. And under adverse conditions as well.
No!
Amelia shouted.
He was supposed to die!
In the doorway behind her, the students from upstairs had gathered.
I don't suppose you'll come along quietly?
Emily asked. Amelia thrust a hand forward and hurled a stream of fire. The blue-orange flame struck an impenetrable black barrier. Angeline held the death stick horizontally in front of her, dark magic crackling around the silver skull.
You think you can threaten my student and get away with it?
She slashed the death stick toward the group blocking the doorway. A wave of dark magic blasted Amelia and her followers back and stripped away the defensive magic they'd already cast. Amelia was the first to her feet.
You think you can best a sub-hierarch of the LaFae Society, hag?
Angeline snorted a dry laugh and crooked a knobby finger.
This one's mine. Can you handle the pups?
Emily nodded and eyed the handful of students collecting themselves after the blast of dark magic. There were two seniors. They would be the most challenging. The rest were a mix of third and second-year students. Demarlza was the first to her feet. She snarled and summoned a pair of fire cats. She wasn't an especially attractive girl to begin with, and the ugly expression she wore did nothing to help. Emily summoned a pair of wind wraiths. The invisible spirits hung in the air beside her. Since it was 6 against 1, she'd have to fight defensively. Her pulse pounded in her ears and power crackled around her fingers. Emily hadn't been this excited in years. Conryu sat up in the brush and held his throbbing head. The effects of the magical backlash had let up a little, but damn little. Prime was floating well above them, keeping a lookout for any approaching threats. After the Chimera, he had serious doubts that anything nasty remained on the island, but at this point he wasn't prepared to take it for granted. Considering the shape he was in at the moment, Conryu doubted he could handle a fire cat, much less a stronger opponent. Beside him, Kelsey groaned. He raised his head in time to watch her trying to sit up. Conryu held out his hand. She took it, and he pulled her to a sitting position.
How you feeling? Better than I have any right to be. You healed me.
He nodded and winced as the movement brought on another stab of pain.
Yeah, you were in pretty bad shape after that blast. I felt your concern. You were really afraid I was going to die. If you'd seen how you looked, you'd have been afraid too. I'm glad I was unconscious. Thank you for saving me. I don't know what I can do to repay you, but whatever you want, just ask. If you hadn't distracted the Chimera when you did, I wouldn't have been able to kill it. I'd say we're even. Besides, I don't keep scores with my friends.
She smiled.
How did you heal me?
Light magic channeled with willpower. He rubbed his temples. I don't recommend it.
Don't worry, I doubt I could channel enough light magic to heal a paper cut.
If you're up to walking, we should lower the barrier for Mrs. Saint. I'll feel better once the school nurse takes a look at you.
I'm good to go. My leg doesn't even hurt.
Kelsey wiggled her foot around as if to prove it. Conryu climbed to his feet without fainting, then helped Kelsey up. The pain behind his eyes was already receding, thank goodness. He broke a path through the brush and branches back to the nearest trail. Prime flew down beside them. There's smoke coming from one of the little houses on the lakeshore.
The sorority bungalows? Kelsey said. Which one?
The farthest from the school.
The LaFay sorority.
Conryu clenched his jaw. He'd bet his bike they were behind the attack. Someone else must have figured it out as well.
We need to get over there.
He stumbled as a fresh pain stabbed through his brain. Kelsey slipped his arm around her shoulders.
You're in no condition to go anywhere, and I'd only be in the way.
He couldn't argue with that, at least for the moment. The two of them stumbled along like the walking dead until they reached the central clearing. The jar sat in the same place near the pillar, both seemingly undamaged by the monster. Kelsey went to the pillar while he continued on to the jar. For such a small thing, it certainly caused a lot of trouble. He pointed his hand at it.
Shatter!
It blew into a dozen pieces.
There, no one else would have to worry about fighting a chimera for a while, and no spirits would be tortured into such an obscene form.
Conryu?
He winced.
Did you want to take that back to your mom?
I don't care about the jar. We have another problem.
He suppressed a groan. There was always another problem. Conryu joined Kelsey beside the pillar. She held up one of the keys, and it snapped in half.
Shit. Looks like we're stuck here till morning.
Do we still pass if we break a key?
Conryu couldn't have cared less if he passed or failed. Mrs. Umbra had all but admitted the classes and tests didn't really apply in his case. Kelsey, on the other hand, seemed genuinely worried. Given her family situation, he wasn't surprised.
I suspect defeating an unknown magic beast will get us enough extra points to make up for the broken key. How do you want to kill the next 18 hours?
Let's go down to the beach and see what's happening at the sorority.
Conryu shrugged and started out. It wasn't like there was anything else to do. Angeline twirled the death stick, creating a shield of dark magic that negated the stream of flame roaring out of her opponent's hand. So complete was her defense that she didn't even notice the heat. She hadn't been in a real fight in years. The rush of adrenaline mingled with a burst of fear set her heart racing. Angeline had missed that rush these past years teaching. Finally, the fire ended. Angeline was only distantly aware of roars and explosions coming from the other areas of the building.
Cloak of darkness!
Angeline covered herself in liquid darkness.
Shroud of flames!
Flames swirled around Amelia as she countered with a defensive spell of her own.
By your name I call you. By my will I bind you. Rise, hellhounds!
A hellgate opened on either side of Angeline, and two dogs as black as moonless night stalked out. Each of them stood as tall as her, their eyes burning with a red glow. The servants of Cerberus snarled.
Attack!
The hellhounds lunged towards Amelia, who leapt. A burst of fire from the soles of her feet launched her higher and farther than an ordinary woman could manage. As she flew over the hellhounds, she pointed both hands at them.
Burn to ash!
A torrent of flame consumed the demon dogs. Amelia landed and turned her flames on Angeline, who negated them with another dark shield. Amelia panted and leaned with her hands on her thighs. She had skill, but no stamina. Pity.
Oh, sweet death, lend me your strength.
The death stick pulsed with dark magic.
Dread scythe!
Her artifact transformed into a black-handled scythe with a silver blade. Black wings grew from Angeline's back, and what appeared to be a billowing black cloak covered her from head to foot. Amelia took a step back, as well she might when faced with an avatar of the Reaper. Dread scythe was Angeline's ultimate trump card. She kicked the floor. Her wings beat the air, and she launched herself at the woman that had caused her favorite student so much grief.
Flames of protection!
The hastily chanted spell called a wall of flames into being between Angeline and her target. She might as well have not bothered. A casual slash cut the spell apart. With her barrier gone, a wide-eyed Amelia stared at the descending blade. The shining silver was the last thing she saw before the dread scythe cut her in half. Wisps of dark magic rose from Angeline. As she slumped to the floor, her spell ended. For all its power, dread scythe took a toll, and she wasn't as young as she used to be. An explosion shook the building. Sounded like Emily was getting serious. She forced herself to her feet and hobbled toward the door. If she didn't fancy getting buried under a heap of gaudy decorations, she needed to leave the basement in a hurry. Maria settled into her chair. On the table in front of her was a rabbit with a deep gash in its side. Its ribs quivered as its heart raced. All around her, the other students had nearly identical animals before them. Poor little thing. It was a shame they had to hurt the animals intentionally. But as her teacher said, it was no different than a scientist injecting an animal with some disease so they could test the cure. She stroked the rabbit's head in a vain attempt to calm it down.
"Don't worry," she whispered. "I've gotten good at healing. You'll be right as rain in a little while."
She glanced out the window toward the island. Conryu was out there now with Kelsey, just the two of them. She swallowed a little growl. She trusted him completely, yet part of her worried that despite what he said, Conryu secretly had feelings for Kelsey. Maria gave a little shake of her head and looked away from the window. Whatever was happening out there was beyond her control. Right now, she needed to concentrate on her own final. Bugs was counting on her after all. At the front of the class, Mrs. Illustrial tapped her pointed stick against the chalkboard. Since her conversation with Dean Blaine, Maria's teacher hadn't given her a moment of trouble, as long as she didn't count the glares when she thought Maria wasn't looking. On the table beside her was an hourglass filled with red sand.
"All right, class," Mrs. Illustrial said. "This is where you put what we've been studying to practical use. You have 3 hours to construct your healing ward and repair the damage to your test subject. I have every confidence in you all. But should anyone fail, I guess we'll be having rabbit for dinner."
When no one laughed, her expression went flat.
3 hours. Begin.
Mrs. Illustrial flipped the hourglass. Maria took a breath and centered herself. She'd been studying the spells so much the past months she saw them in her dreams. The rabbit gave a twitch, and she put her hand above it.
"The light of heaven is the light of healing. Take that which is injured and make it whole. Healing ward."
A white glow spread from her palms down over the injured rabbit. When it was fully enclosed, tendrils of power snaked down from the dome and entered the rabbit. As she watched the ugly red wound begin to close, the muscles knitted themselves together over the animal's ribs. Its breathing calmed, and its pulse slowed. Maria grimaced as the effects of the spell began to drain her. Though the power came from heaven, it passed through her and was given shape by her magic and will. Maintaining the flow at the correct pace took great mental focus. The wound was fully closed, and the skin was growing over it when the explosion sounded. At least she thought it was an explosion. It sounded distant. Her ward wavered along with her concentration. She refocused long enough to restore it, then risked a glance out the window. Smoke was rising from the lakeshore. It looked like one of the bungalows had caught on fire. A second explosion, louder this time, rattled the windows. Some of the other girls muttered, but Mrs. Illustrial slapped her pointer on the table.
"No talking!"
She looked back to her rabbit. It was sitting up, nose twitching, and seemed free of pain. The skin had grown back. There was a nasty scar on its side, but she was certain it would survive. Maria released the magic and raised her hand.
"My healing's complete. May I go see what's causing all that noise?"
She was the first to finish, which pleased her greatly. Mrs. Illustrial stood up and walked over. She examined the rabbit, running her finger over the scar. Her face twisted into an angry scowl, but she nodded.
"You pass. Congratulations on making it to your second year."
Her teacher leaned in closer and whispered,
"I'm relieved to be done with you. Mark my words, your boyfriend will be the death of you. Go if you wish.
I couldn't care less.
Maria got up, grabbed her books, and strode for the door. She wouldn't say anything, wouldn't give Mrs. Illustrial the satisfaction of provoking her. But she was relieved not to have to deal with the woman any further. Her irrational dislike of Conryu was every bit as stupid as the other girl's attitudes. You'd think someone her age would know better. She closed the door behind her with a little more enthusiasm than necessary and turned down the hall. She'd passed, and that was what mattered. Hopefully her second-year teacher would be more reasonable. At the bottom of the steps, a group of girls had gathered. They had packed in 4 deep in front of the lecture hall doors.
"Excuse me."
Maria elbowed her way to the front. Thick smoke billowed up from the lakeshore. She shoved the door, but it was locked.
"The teachers initiated a lockdown."
She glanced to her left and a little down. Conryu's friend Sonya was standing there and staring out with everyone else.
"What does that mean?" she asked. "It means we're stuck in here and we'll miss out on the excitement."
Sonya sounded like the little girl she resembled. A pair of teachers flew towards the lake. Maria frowned.
How had they gotten out? "The roof. Can you cast flying magic?"
"Sure, why?"
"I think I know how we can get out of here and find out what's happening."
Sonya grinned, reminding her for a moment of Conryu.
"What are we waiting for?"
They slipped past the still-gathering students and rushed up the stairs. Maria set a brisk pace, but Sonya kept up despite her shorter legs. Once they reached the top floor, Maria went to a door in the northern wall and yanked it open. Inside was a ladder up to a hatch that opened to the roof.
"How did you know about this place?"
Sonya asked as she climbed up behind Maria.
"My light magic class is on this floor, so I've had time to explore. I caught a glimpse of the ladder when one of the teachers opened the door last month. I figured it had to be the roof access."
"Cool."
Sonya ran over to the edge of the roof.
"Check that out."
Maria joined her and her eyes widened. A huge wall of fire blazed in front of the LaFay sorority. A small crowd had gathered, but they couldn't move past the roaring flames. Sonya put her arm around Maria's waist.
"Ready?"
The question proved to be rhetorical. Sonya chanted a spell, and they were airborne before she thought of an answer. Maria yelped, but the short flight was smooth. From their position above the fire, she could see girls pouring out of the sorority house. A few seconds later, the roof blew up amidst a torrent of dark energy. 2 figures emerged, but she didn't see them well enough to figure out who they were before Sonya lowered them to the ground. The little fire wizard released her and wiped her brow.
"Whew! Flying 2 people is way more work than just transporting myself."
Maria had just enough time to wonder if Sonya was implying she was fat when the wall of fire vanished. Dean Blaine and Mrs. Umbra were herding the students into a group. Beyond them, the house had collapsed.
"Guess the show's over," Sonya said.
"Yeah."
Maria doubted they'd seen even half of what really happened. Part of her wasn't sure she wanted to know what was going on. Deep inside, she knew it had something to do with Conryu. Emily had complete confidence in Angeline's ability to handle Amelia. As flames burned into her wind barrier on one side and lightning crackled into the other, she had a little less confidence in her own situation. Demarles's firecats charged in between the flame blasts. The firecats bared their fangs and leapt. Her wind wraiths flew in and scattered the flames until only embers remained.
"No!"
Demarzel redoubled her flame's intensity. Emily staggered under an especially intense burst of lightning. If she kept playing with these kids, they might actually beat her. While she didn't want to kill any of her students, this bunch might not give her a choice.
"Father of winds, blow away my enemies! Tornado burst!"
She threw her hand forward and a mini-twister sent all 6 girls flying out the door and into the hall beyond. One of them hit the wall with enough force that she didn't get back up. Emily risked a glance at Angeline. The head of dark magic was under assault from a river of flame, though none of it pierced her shield. She shook her head and stalked out of the casting chamber. Angeline could take care of herself. She needed to convince these kids to surrender before someone got killed.
"If you give up now, I promise the court will take your age and inexperience into account during the trial. The longer you fight, the worse it will look for you." You think we'll surrender to someone that let an abomination into our school?
Demarza forced herself up.
Better we die as true wizards than accept such a thing.
Emily shook her head to hear one of her pupils spout such utter nonsense.
True wizards keep an open mind when they encounter the unknown. They don't condemn it out of hand. Only an ignorant, closed-minded fool judges a person by nothing but their sex. Girl good, boy bad. That's primitive thinking and unworthy of a student attending this academy.
Two of the younger girls were muttering to each other. Demarza must have heard them. She gave the nearest a bat to the side of the head.
We will not betray our mistress. Burn!
A blast of flames was deflected by her wind barrier.
Go upstairs and gather the others. I'll hold her here,
Demarza ordered. The other girls hesitated, and for a moment Emily dared hope they might come to their senses. But it wasn't to be. Four of them rushed up the stairs, leaving their unconscious companion behind.
Just you and me, Demarza offered a cruel smile. You don't seem so tough now.
Demarza raised her free hand and a ball of fire appeared. The instant the spell formed, Emily pointed.
Jet gust!
A focused line of wind struck the fireball and detonated it. Demarza's concentration broke and the torrent of flames vanished. This one was clearly beyond redemption.
Your breath is your life. Cease to breathe and cease to be. Asphyxiation.
Demarza scratched at her throat as the wind magic stole the air from her lungs. She clawed and gasped and fell to the floor where she kicked around before going still. Emily shook her head again. What a waste. The girl had such potential. The tap, tap, tap of the death stick alerted her to Angeline's approach. She eyed the two bodies in the hall and sighed. It couldn't be helped.
No. Amelia?
That also couldn't be helped. Not that she was worthy of our help. The other pups?
They ran upstairs, I assume, to set a trap.
Perhaps a display of sufficient force will knock some sense into them. Angeline had a wicked gleam in her eye.
What did you have in mind?
I'll blast a path out of here, and you fly us through. Once I saw the boy use Death Spiral, I got an itch to try it myself. I haven't cast it since I came to teach.
I suppose that might work. Did you teach the spell to Conryu? Death Spiral seems a bit stronger than what we'd discussed.
No, I suspect his book taught him. There isn't much regarding dark magic the Scholomantic doesn't know. I'm impressed he managed to cast it so well so quickly.
I agree. Perhaps next year we should design a new course of study for him. I won't bother submitting it to the department for approval. As long as he passes the midterms and finals, they won't care how we go about teaching him.
That's an excellent idea. Have we given them enough time to get nervous?
I think so. Whenever you're ready.
Emily moved back to give Angeline some extra room, as well as making sure she wouldn't get caught in any magic spillover. Angeline chanted and spun the death stick in a slow circle. Dark magic gathered around the silver skull. When she'd built up the necessary power, she thrust the death stick at the ceiling. A spiral shot out, smashing through the ceiling and carrying the debris along with it. Emily moved back beside Angeline.
Father of winds, carry us into your domain. Air rider.
The wind gathered around them, strong but gentle, and carried them through the floor and up out of what remained of the roof. A group of sorority members had raised a wall of flames to hold off the approaching students and teachers. Girls poured out of the collapsing house and onto the field outside. Emily guided them to the ground between the students and the house. The remains of the building collapsed at the same moment they landed. It was an unintentional but powerful bit of symbolism. The girls faced them, hands raised and ready to cast. Emily held her hands to the side in a gesture of peace.
Your leaders are dead, as is the sorority. Whether you face a wizard's tribunal or we bury you at the bottom of the lake is up to you.
At that moment, Assistant Dean Saint rose up behind them on the head of a water serpent. That was the final straw. The rebellious students threw up their hands in surrender,
and the wall of flames vanished. Teachers rushed down to join them, and Emily directed the new arrivals to take the sorority members into custody. Now that everything seemed under control, Hannah landed beside them.
"Looks like I missed the excitement." "On the contrary, your timing couldn't have been better. Your water serpent knocked the fight out of them and allowed us to avoid any more deaths. I'm grateful beyond words for that."
"How's the boy?" Angeline asked.
"Conry and Kelsey are fine. They were sitting on the beach watching the fireworks. He lost his robe somewhere on the island, but other than that, they didn't have any visible damage."
Emily sighed.
"All in all, as good a result as we could have hoped for. Did you take them to the nurse's office?"
"No, the barrier's still up."
Angeline frowned. "I know they collected all their keys. What's the holdup?"
Hannah shrugged. "I couldn't get close enough to ask."
Emily patted Angeline on the shoulder.
"We'll find out in the morning. Right now, we have a mess to clean up."
The pops and flashes from the sorority bungalow had ended hours ago. The sun hung low in the sky as Conry dragged the last dry branch into the pile he'd made on the beach. Kelsey lounged on the sand and stared up at the sunset. She'd offered to help him gather wood, but he didn't want to risk her injuring her leg again. He heaved the stick into the pile and nodded. The pile was almost as tall as he was. The nights were still chilly, so a fire would be nice. Kelsey rummaged through her pack for a drink and walked over to him.
"It's a nice pile of wood, but I don't think my lighting spell is going to be enough to get it started."
She flicked her finger, and a little flame appeared on the tip.
"Getting it going won't be a problem."
Conry moved a safe distance away and raised his hand.
"All things burn to ash. Inferno blast."
A stream of blue-white flame streaked out. After a few seconds, he had a roaring bonfire going. Conryu ended the spell and turned to Kelsey. "See? No sweat."
"Where'd you learn that? The only fire spells they taught us in Universal Magic class was a light globe and how to ignite and snuff out a candle."
"A girl in my club taught me. Maybe you know her, Sonia Chard?"
"I don't know her personally, but my mother regularly curses her family for stealing a portion of our military business. That alone is enough to make me think I'd like her."
"I think you would, too. She's spunky."
"Remind me to introduce you when things calm down."
"She might not be so friendly since our families are in direct competition."
Conry laughed and lay down on the sand near the fire.
"Sonya's about as enchanted with her family's business as you are with yours. It's amazing how much you two have in common."
Kelsey lay down beside him and rested her head on his shoulder. When he didn't say anything, she snuggled in closer. It had been a crazy day, and he understood if she needed a little reassuring. When he turned his head to look at her, Kelsey was already fast asleep. That struck him as an excellent idea, and the moment he closed his eyes, he was dead to the world. The next thing he knew, someone was kicking his foot. Maybe if he ignored them, whoever it was would go away.
"Wake up, sleepyhead."
Conry opened one eye. The youthful face of Dean Blaine was staring down at him. He started to sit up, but found his movement restricted. He opened the other eye. Kelsey had draped herself over him, and his arm was pinned under her, and her leg draped across his thighs.
"I don't want to get up,"
she grumbled in her sleep and moved closer.
"You didn't bring Maria with you, did you?"
The fact that no one was strangling him at the moment argued that she hadn't, but he wanted to make sure.
"No, it's just me and Hannah, and she's waiting by the boat. You had quite an adventure yesterday."
"Yeah."
Conryu gave Kelsey a shake, and she finally opened her eyes. The moment she realized who was there and how she was wrapped around him, she scrambled to put some space between them.
"Sorry, I was asleep and I didn't realize what I was doing."
Her face was bright red.
"Relax."
Conryu patted her knee.
"Time to go back."
"Almost time to head back."
Dean Blaine plopped down beside them.
"There are a couple matters we need to discuss, and there are far fewer ears out here. Tell me what happened."
Conryu did as she asked, with Kelsey chiming in here and there.
When he finished, Kelsey asked, "Do we still pass even though one of the keys was broken?"
"Absolutely.
The fact that you survived that monster would earn you a passing grade in my book.
Dean Blaine fixed Conryu with a serious look.
You really channeled light magic with nothing but willpower?
He nodded.
The backlash made the headache I got from dominating those demons feel like a tickle. But Kelsey's okay, so it was worth it.
I assume you saw the battle at the sorority house?
Yeah. Let me guess, they left the Chimera for me?
Exactly right. Apparently Amelia Light was a sub-hierarch in the society. We'll have to search through the rubble, but I hope to find out more about the group. I thought they were a political committee that supported women looking to advance to high positions in the government and at companies, Kelsey said.
Conryu didn't pay much attention to politics, but Dean Blaine seemed to know what Kelsey was talking about.
The LaFay Society has two groups. The one you're talking about claims to be a non-profit dedicated to women's issues and unaffiliated with their more aggressive sister organization. The second group is more of a terrorist organization determined to change the world directly with violence and fear.
Why do they hate me so much? Conryu asked.
Dean Blaine sighed.
The society believes the world should be ordered in three tiers. Wizards at the top, non-magic using women below them, and men as slaves and breeding stock at the bottom. The appearance of a male wizard elevates a being they consider little better than an animal to a status equal to theirs. That isn't something they can accept. Hence you need to die.
Is it just me, or is that a little harsh?
Conryu grinned, hoping some humor might lighten the suddenly serious mood. It didn't.
Right, so now what?
For you two, it's a full examination by the nurse. Graduation is in 2 days. Then you return home for summer vacation.
I was thinking more about what we were going to do about the crazy people trying to kill me.
Dean Blaine clambered to her feet.
I don't know about that, but I think we've rooted out all the snakes here.
Kelsey raised her hand as though asking permission to speak.
But you didn't actually know Ms. Light was a member of the Bad Society, did you? Not with certainty, though I had my suspicions. Until she made her move, I couldn't prove anything.
No one said it out loud, but Conryu at least was wondering whether there were any other snakes hiding in their midst. End of the year. Maria stared in growing horror as Conryu explained what had happened on the island. She'd seen the battle with the LaFay sorority. The whole school knew about it at this point. But she'd had no idea what precipitated it. She shouldn't have been surprised it was an attack on Conryu.
So I destroyed the Chimera and healed Kelsey.
Wait.
Maria was certain she must have misunderstood.
You healed her?
How? You're a dark wizard.
She tried to comprehend what he was saying, but her brain refused. If Conryu could heal, he really didn't have any use for her. All her hard work this semester had been for nothing.
Willpower. Anyway, you remember the light gem reacted to me as well. Dark magic is my focus this year, but I have the potential to use all types of magic at a fairly high level. At least Dean Blaine seems to think so. You should have seen how excited she was when I told her. You'd have thought I'd given her $1 million.
They were standing outside the nurse's office waiting while the nurse checked Kelsey out. Conryu had come through with a clean bill of health. In fact, he barely had a scratch on him. It was easy for her to think of him as indestructible, but Maria knew just how near a thing it had been.
So what happened next?
Conryu told her the rest, including how they ended up on the beach sitting beside a bonfire. Sounded a little too romantic. On the other hand, she didn't want him shivering through the night and getting sick either.
The dean and assistant dean came to fetch us when the barrier went down. Sorry if I made you worry.
Since no one had told her what happened, she wasn't as worried as she might have been.
It's not your fault. How'd you do on your final?
I passed and no one tried to kill me.
That's how finals are supposed to work.
He laughed. Yeah, well, maybe next year.
I forgot to tell you. I invited Kelsey to come for a visit this summer. Seemed like it would be nice if she saw what a normal family looked like.
Maria stared at him, her brain not fully processing what he just said.
What? I said I invited Kelsey to come for a visit this summer.
What?
Don't be that way. She's a sweetheart. If you gave her half a chance, I bet you two would get along great.
Maria heartily doubted that.
She saw the way Kelsey looked at Kanryu, even if he wasn't willing to acknowledge it. That girl wanted more than to be just friends.
Where's she going to stay? I figured on the couch. The apartment's only got 2 bedrooms, after all.
She's staying with you?
Maria's voice went up 3 notches. This had to be a bad dream. She was going to wake up in her bed any second now.
You don't trust me?
With a beautiful girl sleeping 20 feet from your bedroom door?
What? You used to sleep over all the time when we were kids.
Focus on the last part of that sentence.
We were kids. You two aren't kids.
The door to the nurse's office opened, and Kelsey emerged. She glanced at Maria and ventured a faint smile.
I couldn't help overhearing. If it's going to be a problem, I don't have to visit.
She wanted to tell Kelsey it absolutely was going to be a problem, but Kanryu said,
No, no problem. We sorted it all out.
Assuming you don't mind sleeping on the couch.
No, I don't mind. Though I don't think I've ever slept on a couch. It couldn't be any less comfortable than the beach, right?
Not at all. I nap on it all the time. Maria looked from Kanryu to Kelsey and back again. They were chatting and smiling like they were perfectly comfortable together.
When had all this happened?
At least before they'd been a little awkward around each other. Maybe it had something to do with the battle and his healing her. Sometimes using light magic on someone created a powerful bond.
Are you going to send your mother a note? Kanryu asked.
Yes, this afternoon. I wouldn't want my driver to come pick me up and not be there. I'm afraid Mom won't be very happy with me.
She grinned in a near-perfect imitation of Kanryu.
But that's part of the fun.
Kelsey acted more like his girlfriend than Maria. Standing there with them, she felt like a disapproving sister, looking for reasons why they shouldn't do what they were planning. It sucked. Kanryu and Maria walked side by side toward the cafeteria. Graduation wasn't an especially big event at the academy. Since only students were allowed on campus, they didn't bother with handing out diplomas or making speeches. Instead, there was a big group gathering with food and games where the seniors could say goodbye to their fellow students and the teachers. This year, the staff had decided to go all out, with fancy catering arriving by train that morning. Dean Blaine said it was to help take everyone's mind off what happened at the sorority. Kanryu thought it would take more than appetizers to do that, but he didn't want to sound negative. The members that surrendered had been taken to Central, where they'd face a wizard's tribunal led by Kelsey's grandmother. He shivered, not envying the girls that encounter. He felt bad for anyone that had to deal with that woman, even people that wanted him dead.
So what's your mom got planned for you this summer? Will you be able to hang out with us a little?
I'll just be helping her with whatever I can. I wouldn't want to get in you and Kelsey's way.
He groaned.
Are you still going on about that? What's it going to take to convince you we're just friends?
I think you believe you're just friends. If you still believe it at the end of summer break, I'll be convinced.
Kanryu sighed and pushed the cafeteria doors open. He couldn't figure out why Maria imagined he'd change his mind about Kelsey after her visit. But maybe when he didn't, that would convince her. He certainly hoped it did. Things had gotten far too uncomfortable between them. Inside, most of the students and faculty had gathered. As usual, Kanryu was among the last to arrive. He caught a flash of red out of the corner of his eye, and the next thing he knew, Sonya leapt at him and wrapped her arms around his neck.
"I did it," she said far too loudly right next to his ear. "They didn't even yell, just like you said they wouldn't. I'm so relieved."
Maria muttered something about him being popular with the ladies before wandering off toward the laden tables to find a snack.
"What's with her?" Sonya asked as he lowered her to the ground.
"Long story. So what were you saying with such enthusiasm?"
"I hadn't heard back from my parents, so I called them and told them I was taking a job with a magic engineering company. The company was really impressed with what we did on the engine and offered me a good salary. It's so exciting. I may even have a chance to work on golems there."
"Congratulations. What did your parents say?"
Kanryu guided her toward the food. He'd skipped lunch and was eager to eat.
"They were disappointed, of course, but they said if that was what I really wanted to do, it was okay. And if it didn't work out, I could always come work at the factory later."
"That's about the best you could have hoped for."
Sonya nodded and hugged him again.
"I never would have had the guts to tell them if you hadn't encouraged me. Thank you, thank you, thank you."
He gave her a pat on the head. It was good to see Sonya excited.
Oh, there's Crystal. I haven't told her yet since I wanted to let you know first. Later.
And she rushed off again. Sonya was a lot like a tornado. She appeared and disappeared quickly, but left an impression. Kanryu examined the nearest table and only recognized half the offerings on it. He settled on a deviled egg. The moment he popped it in his mouth, Dean Blaine approached.
How would you rate your first year at the Academy?
He swallowed the half-chewed egg. I lived through it. If the next three are anything like the first, I'll be the first student to graduate with a combat citation. She laughed.
Next year won't be anywhere near as bad as this one. With the sorority gone and the worst offenders removed, you should be safe.
Emphasis on should. She shrugged. There are no guarantees in life.
You've come a long ways. I can't wait to see what you accomplish next year.
He spotted Kelsey approaching as Dean Blaine left.
How was he ever going to get something to eat?
She stopped in front of him and hung her head.
Mom found out I was planning to visit you and said I couldn't go.
And? She blinked.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're an adult, right? It's your decision, not hers.
What do you want to do?
She looked away, then back.
I want to go with you.
Then do it. When the train stops in Central tomorrow, stay on board. Show her you have a will of your own.
Mama be furious.
Kelsey offered a little smile.
Let's do it.
Almost time. Kanryu stepped out of his suite and set his bag beside the door, gently so he didn't shake up Prime. After a moment of indignation, the Skullamantic had agreed to hide amidst his laundry. All clean, thank you very much. He'd come to the conclusion that he'd introduce Prime next year as his familiar since sophomores were allowed to have one. But for now, he'd keep it a secret. Several upperclassmen rushed past him on their way to the train. They still had an hour before departure, so Kanryu had decided to wait and walk with Kelsey. Maria was supposed to meet them in the lounge upstairs. She still wasn't thrilled that Kelsey would be spending 2 weeks camped out on his couch, but she wasn't scowling at him all the time, at least. A little ways down the hall, Mrs. Lenore's door opened, and she stepped out into the hall. Kanryu waved. She had on her black robe instead of the pink pajamas. She smiled and crossed the hall.
Looking forward to your vacation?
You know it. What about you? Any plans?
I'm visiting my family on the West Coast. We'll hang out at the beach, surf, fish, all that sort of stuff.
He grinned. The idea of Mrs. Lenore as a surfer chick never crossed his mind.
Sounds fun. I've never been surfing. The beaches in Sentinel City aren't the cleanest. There's a few stretches you shouldn't even walk on without boots.
That sounds awful.
2 blocks from my parents' house is the most beautiful white sand beach you've ever seen. We live in a little town so far off the beaten track hardly any tourists come to visit, so we often have it all to ourselves.
Cool. I have to ask, why was there a teapot in your bathroom? She blushed and looked away.
Students aren't allowed to cook in their room, so the teachers don't either. Sometimes at night I like a cup of tea and I don't want to go to the cafeteria, so I made a little stove with a fire spirit. I keep it in my bathroom so no one will see it.
That doesn't strike me as a big deal, but rest assured your secret is safe with me. Kelsey emerged from the group room and headed their way. She had on a simple blue dress and black shoes and carried a bag in each hand.
Until next year. Have a nice summer.
Kanryu left his bag and went to help Kelsey.
Can I carry those for you? No need.
Are you sure? If she had as much stuff as Maria, those bags had to weigh a ton. She held one out to him.
See for yourself.
He took the bag and found it weighed next to nothing.
How? Magic. These are Kincaid carry-alls. You can put whatever you want in them and they never weigh more than 2 pounds.
Now I know what I'm getting Maria for her birthday.
How much are they?
10 grand each. He winced.
Jesus.
On second thought, I'll just buy her those hair clips she's been hinting around for since April.
You ready to go?
Yep, all set. Together they went upstairs. The lounge was almost empty, so he had no trouble spotting Maria. After so many days of seeing her in the white robes, it almost came as a shock to find her in a black sundress and wearing her favorite silver jewelry. Her bag sat on the floor beside her, and she rose as they approached. Kanryu kissed her on the cheek.
You look gorgeous.
Thanks, she nodded to Kelsey. Shall we head out? It would be a shame to miss the train.
You got that right.
He hefted her bags in his right hand and groaned.
Are these heavier than when we arrived?
They might be. The librarian said I could take a few books home with me. I found three that Mom doesn't have in her collection.
What are they printed on, slate?
Kanryu led the way through the doors and down to the train platform. Hundreds of girls stood waiting. The babble of voices almost immediately made him long for the quiet of their cabin. The glint of silver caught his eye a moment before the train eased up to the platform. He glanced back at the school. He wouldn't miss the place. But on the other hand, his first year of school hadn't been quite as bad as he'd feared. Close, but meeting Sonya and Kelsey had helped balance out the repeated murder attempts. He found he was curious to discover what next year would bring.
Lady Raven stood in the light of one of the two windows in her redoubt and watched the floating island drift ever closer. The edge of the shadow was touching the city now. In a couple more days it would be in place, and the La Fae Society would put the Alliance on its knees, begging them to spare Sentinel City. Maybe they would. If the world's leaders met the Society's demands, the island could continue on its way, and no one would be worse off for the little scare they'd receive. And if the leaders gave in this time, when next year rolled around, the Society would make new demands. It would continue on until the artifacts were found or the trick stopped working. She smiled. A large piece of Lady Raven hoped the powers that be refused to yield to their demands. How many lives could her shadow beasts take before they were destroyed? It would be exciting to find out. Either way, she would have completed her mission. The hierarchs would have to recognize her efforts and promote her. It was a win-win situation, and those were her favorites. She stretched, enjoying the warmth. Not much longer now. Lady Raven could hardly wait. This concludes The Chimera Jar, by James E. Wisher. Narrated by Joe Hempel. Copyright 2017 by James E. Wisher. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with James E. Wisher and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.